Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, November 8th. I'm Ray Graff. Thanksgiving is less than 3 weeks away, and if it hasn't already started with Halloween, the holiday sweets and desserts will soon populate those lucky dinner tables. Here with her Thanksgiving dessert creations is Chef Gail Sokol. Gail's first book about professional baking is one of the most widely used textbooks in colleges, universities, and culinary programs throughout the world. She followed that up with Baking with Success. If you have a question about Thanksgiving baking, we have an expert for you. The number is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can email us as well, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Thanksgiving desserts with Gail Sokol coming up after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. You know, I think it's fair to say that for many, the turkey is the key to a superb Thanksgiving dinner, maybe the stuffing. For me, it's the booze and the family anxiety, but for others, it's the final course that really puts the icing on the cake. So joining us to discuss Thanksgiving desserts on this Food Friday is Chef Gail Sokol. Her first book about professional baking, it's one of the most widely used textbooks in colleges, universities, culinary programs throughout the world. She followed that up with Baking with Success. Gail served as a member of the faculty of Schenectady County Community College for 18 years, teaching baking, nutrition, and sanitation. Gail has also served as a faculty member in the nutrition department at the Sage Colleges in Troy, teaching food science and quantity foods. If you have a question about Thanksgiving baking, wow, we really have an expert on hand here. And, you know, there's a blowtorch here. Things could go terribly wrong, so I invite you to stick around. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551 if you have a question. Or you can tweet us at WAMCVoxPop, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Gail Sokol, welcome back. How have you been?
Thank you. I've been fabulous.
Really?
Thank you so much. Yes.
Fabulous?
I'm fabulous. It's almost Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving desserts. And I thought I would do something really special for you today.
Yeah.
A pumpkin spice latte baked Alaska.
Pumpkin spice?
Pumpkin spice.
Okay, now I got to be honest with you. You know, I'm a little skeptical on the pumpkin spice.
I know. I was too, but, okay. And I know it's overrated, but I have an award-winning pumpkin ice cream recipe in my Baking with Success cookbook.
Wow.
It's so fabulous. It won a gold medal for me in a culinary competition a while back. So I decided I was going to make that the middle of my baked Alaska.
Sure.
So you can use any store-bought ice cream if you want, but if you really want like top-notch pumpkin ice cream, use mine. So instead of a typical sponge cake on the bottom or pound cake, I decided to do a cinnamon blondie.
Oh.
So I have a cinnamon blondie that I baked in a loaf pan, removed it, put it back in after I lined the loaf pan with plastic wrap, poured my ice cream in there, softened, and now we're going to top it with a latte Italian meringue.
Ooh.
So that's an Italian meringue, the most stable type of meringue, where you actually beat a hot sugar syrup into your egg whites, and it stabilizes and almost cooks those egg whites, so it's relatively safe to eat.
What's an unstable meringue?
There's something called a common meringue or a French meringue, and that's usually just granulated sugar and egg whites, so the egg whites are really raw.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's what's on top of a lemon meringue pie.
Which we had. We've got one at the grocery store
last week. Yeah, and they're fine.
And it turns to rubber if you leave it in the fridge.
But that
was pretty stable, though.
Yeah, it's very stable. Yeah. And they put things in it. When they sell them in the grocery store, they put preservatives and stabilizers in it.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Really?
Okay,
like,
all right,
wow.
Yeah.
So now, the piece de resistance, I've actually put this meringue all over. If you don't want to put it under the broiler right away, or it won't fit under your broiler.
Okay.
I brought my trusty tiny blowtorch.
All right, just hang on just a second.
Tiny blowtorch.
I invite all listeners to go to WAMC.org and go to our live video, because when Gail burns to the place to the ground, I want there to be witnesses. WAMC.org.
I promise I will not
really?
Do that. I promise. So
that's a handy little blowtorch, by the way.
It's fabulous. Yeah. You can get one pretty easily in most kitchen supply stores.
Are they legal
now
in New York?
Not yet.
Oh.
No, not yet. Not until
we're
after
in New York,
I use it. So I've covered my baked Alaska with this Italian meringue. And if you weren't ready to serve it, like I'm ready to serve it to you now. Yeah. So I'm gonna blowtorch it now and singe it.
If I had a dollar for every time I heard that phrase.
Well, you know, you just want to get it toasty-osty, right?
Right.
So I'm going to do that now. But if you didn't want to, you could put it right back in the freezer.
Oh, really?
And it would be perfect.
So
yes.
Then you'd thaw it?
You don't thaw it because your ice cream would thaw.
Oh.
So you would leave it. You could leave it at room temperature while you're eating your dinner for
Time out.
30 minutes.
Time out. Let's recapitulate.
Okay.
Chef Gail
I'm
Sokol.
I'm confusing you.
Chef Gail.
Sorry.
I didn't even get to hello and how you doing.
Yes.
Chef Gail Sokol is our guest. It's Thanksgiving desserts. If you want to call in, 800-348-2551. If you're just tuning in, the disaster's about to happen.
Oh, stop
but what,
it.
But what Gail has made is a pumpkin spice thing with a blondie
pumpkin
on
pumpkin spice latte baked Alaska.
Right.
Right.
And so
what she said.
You made the meringue and it's very stable.
It's very stable.
It's among
Italian.
The most stable.
It's the Italian meringue.
Right.
So it's
that doesn't look that stable.
It's pretty stable. I made this several hours ago.
It looks meringue-y. I mean, what do you mean by stable?
Stable
like
means
nuclear, it's, like it's a noble gas?
No, stable means that it's not gonna start. Like, it's called syneresis when the egg whites go back to their original state and they get sort of watery.
Yeah.
No watery stuff coming from this.
No.
And then I folded in some instant espresso. So there's the latte flavor on the top. So it's got a little bit of pumpkin. It's got the latte on the top and it's got cinnamon in the bottom on the blondie. So we got a bunch of everything. You ready?
All right. Fire away.
All right, here we go.
And alert the... Alert the safety.
I've got to make sure my blowtorch.
Oh, there it goes.
Okay. Hold on.
Good heavens. Zach, get me out of here. 800-348-2551. If you have some fire safety tips you'd like to share on this Food Friday. Oh, God.
Why isn't it?
Well, it's having performance anxiety.
Hold
clearly.
On. You're making it very nervous.
Okay. Just, it's okay. It's all right, blowtorch. Go ahead.
Come on. Do it.
Live radio, folks. Aha, here we go.
Okay,
just keep it away from the microphones.
Keep it away from the
microphone. All right, now she's blowtorching the thing.
So now I'm blowtorching, and you see what's happening? It's sort of singeing the top.
Oh, God, the smoke. Oh,
Gail. Of the sugar. It's okay. There's no smoke, Ray.
I see the smoke coming off.
Calm down. It's
right.
Okay. It's okay.
I,
see how you just do the outer
Jim,
side.
My producer's going to get fired.
No. If you see any flame, you just blow on it.
Gail, the smoke detector's going to go off.
No, it's not. Watch. We're going to be done.
Right.
We're going to be done.
Done.
We're going to be done. We're going to be done. We're done.
Oh, God.
We're done.
Oh, God.
We're done.
Oh, God.
We're done.
Okay. All right.
We're done. Did I get you a little nervous? I'm really sorry. So sorry. All right. You want a slice?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So I have
my
knife.
Look at you with the knife.
And you know what?
What?
Really cool tip or hack. If it doesn't cut through, your beautiful knife doesn't cut through your baked Alaska, just blowtorch it a little bit and get or dip it in really hot boiling water so the metal of that knife will warm up and slice right through. All right.
By the way, the fire alarm is really loud here. Just saying. If anything happens.
We haven't heard it yet, so you're an alarmist.
Zach, you ready to go to break here? I'm smelling the burned meringue. I think we're in trouble.
It's not burnt.
Okay, no,
it's
beautiful.
It's toasted.
It's well done. It's well done. Our number is 800-348-2551. I have a variety of reasons to be nervous today, and this is just one of them. Gail with the knife is one. The blowtorch is one. Various Facebook lives going on, and all right. Oh, that looks beautiful. And look at the pumpkin ice cream on the inside. And you made that yourself?
Yes, that's from my book, Baking with Success. So it's my award-winning pumpkin ice cream recipe.
When you make the ice cream,
yeah.
do you do the hand crank or do you have a machine?
I have a machine.
Yeah.
I've done both. And I've used all different types of ice cream machines, but any type will work.
Really?
I've built up brines with the salt and the ice water and the ice cubes. Works out fabulous. But this one, I bought myself a new ice cream maker, and it's fabulous.
Really? And so...
And they're so inexpensive now. You can make them, and they turn out fabulous and creamy. And before you actually put it in the freezer and pack it, look how beautiful and creamy
that
is.
Look at that. And the blowtorch didn't even melt the ice cream.
It doesn't melt the ice cream. Take a fork and give it a shot.
All right.
Now, the only thing is sometimes the blondie is a little bit
crisp.
Harder. It's not crisp. It's a little bit harder.
And, of course,
because
there's no
Because it
knives.
Doesn't... I got you a knife.
Oh, did you?
Here, right here.
Oh, my gosh. You're really
I think
something.
Of everything.
Yeah. Look at that. This is exciting, Zach. No fire alarm yet, Zach the engineer? Oh, and there's another engineer. He also looks nervous. You're right. I would hear it. All right, so I try this now. And this is a baked pumpkin Alaska.
Pumpkin. No. You got to get the name right. It's a pumpkin spice latte baked Alaska. So it's like pumpkin spice latte. It's the holidays, the Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh my God.
In a dessert.
I love the espresso notes of
the meringue.
I'm going to
turn it around. Look. I'm going to look how pretty that is.
Yeah, that's
you
really something.
You see the three layers. You see the meringue. You see the ice cream, and you see the beautiful blondie on the bottom.
I love that. Let's take a break, Zach, and I'll eat this whole thing, and we'll air out the room. If you have a question about pies or things that have ice cream in them and that catch on fire, 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. Gail Sokol is here. We'll be back. You know, it's nothing a couple of fire extinguishers couldn't fix. So we're back here on Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. The famous chef, Gail Sokol, is here, and she is sharing Thanksgiving dessert ideas with you. Gotta say, the thing that you made with the pumpkin ice cream and the burning was great.
You know, that's insulting.
What was it called?
Pumpkin Spice Latte Baked Alaska.
I like it.
All right.
And you know what? I love the espresso you put in there.
Yeah, it's nice. And the meringue, I sort of shook it up a little bit, right?
And the thing about that meringue is it's very stable. That's what I like best about it. It's really stable.
I think you're making fun of me.
No, I don't know what
I'm feeling like, ooh, I don't know.
It's a defense mechanism because I thought we burned the place to the ground.
No, it smells like a beautiful coffee marshmallow in here, right?
Yeah.
We're ready for the holidays.
Your ice cream, though. You got a skill.
It's fabulous.
Yes, it's very good.
It's fabulous.
It's dense. It's good.
It's dense.
So what's the overrun on your ice cream?
Oh, you an ice cream aficionado. You know about overrun?
I've done 900 Food Fridays.
I
know a few terms, that's all.
Well, overrun is basically how much air is in. I haven't done the percentages, so I'm really not sure. But
it's dense.
It's dense, but you know what? That makes a really nice ice cream when it's... You don't want it so airy and fluffy that it tastes... You know, it doesn't have any substance to it, you know? So... It's pretty good.
You know what? And really, the proof is in the eating. And I just want to say that our ex-intern, Jackie Orchard, is here. And she ate the whole blasted thing in a 90-second underwriting break. So that's pretty impressive.
Thank you.
What's new with you, by the way?
Well, I'm still working on my podcast. I do this podcast called Baking Radio, wherever you get podcasts. It's on iHeartRadio, Spotify,
really?
Free. Yeah, for free.
Is it on the Sirius?
No. Oh, no.
Can you
not
do a negotiation
yet
with them?
I would love to. Yeah. I would love to. Yeah, we'll work on that.
Okay. Well, right now you're on WAMC Public Radio.
And this is fabulous. I'm so thrilled to be here.
We love having you here.
Thank you.
And how do people get to your podcast?
They can go to my website, GailSokol.com. And find out more information. But anywhere they would get podcasts, it's on there. iHeartRadio, like I said, Spotify, iTunes.
And will there be any information on this?
No, this baked Alaska, this pumpkin spice baked Alaska, the recipe is on your website. This is a new creation.
Oh, really?
New.
We did that.
Except for the pumpkin ice cream, which is a reference to my book, Baking with Success. So if they want to buy my Baking with Success, they can actually
get
that
recipe.
And I'll hold
the book up. We have it here.
Yep.
There it is. I'll hold it up for the Facebook. Enough with the cameras, all right? It's driving me crazy.
You're a celebrity.
800-348-2551 if you have a question. You also brought, it looks like...
I brought a caramel maple walnut tart, which
cool.
is also a fabulous mini tart to make, individual, because sometimes, you know, we don't like to share.
Yeah.
You know, you've eaten some turkey dinner and you just like, I want to wait a little bit, but someone's going to be eating all that pie.
Yeah.
So I have to sort of sneak a piece. Well, this is your own tart.
Man, this is a lot of work, though. I mean, look at it.
It's beautiful. And you know what? Not only is this recipe available on, it's actually not available on your website, but it's on YouTube. I made a video of it so people can see exactly how it's made. And a tiny version of this tart was a gold medal winner in a food competition.
How tiny?
I made it a lot tinier than that.
This is about, I would say, what, about a 5-inch diameter?
Four-inch
diameter.
Yes, about 4 or 4 inches. Yeah.
And so tell us about how you make this.
All right. So this is what's known as a pâte sucré or a sugar cookie crust on the bottom. And you get one of those false bottom tart pans, you know, the little mini ones. You can also make them big. And just make a big one if you want to. And you just press it out all around. Take a rolling pin, roll it over the top, and just sort of get all your edges even.
Yeah.
And then you make a caramel maple walnut filling that uses maple syrup. And it uses, I make my own caramel with sugar and water.
And how do you do that?
You cook it over the stove.
Just caramel and water.
Not caramel and water. You're creating caramel.
Sugar and water.
Sugar, water. You cook that until it gets it to be a nice sort of a light brew tea color. And then you're going to add heavy cream to that, walnuts, chopped walnuts, little maple syrup. And then you let that cool down a little bit and you put it into your filling, your crust. And then I make a nice little lattice top crust. So I roll out the crust and just sort of cookie cutter out, you know, or with a pizza wheel, just little strips and put them up and down. And then you blast the whole thing after you bake it, cool it down, blast it with some powdered sugar. Really beautiful.
The lattice on the top makes me, the uninitiated in the kitchen, say, this took you hours and hours.
No,
to make.
It's so simple.
Really?
Oh my goodness, yes. Anybody can do this. And if you want to see how it's done, go to my YouTube channel, Gail Sokol.
You know, again, I don't have the most refined tastes, but this has a bit,
I'm not saying anything.
This has a bit of a pecan pie kind of vibe.
Yes, it
to
does.
It.
You can use pecans. You could use anything you wanted. I use walnuts because I love the flavor of sort of caramel and walnut.
Yeah.
And it just has and it's got some maple syrup in it. Just, it's very, I don't know, it's sort of very fall.
Yeah.
You know, holiday, Thanksgiving. It's sort of a riff on the pecan pie. You're right.
Now, when you, and I'm, thank you for saying pecan, because that's pecan, the way that's the way I say it.
I know.
I say pecan too, and I've been castigated.
Well, I went down to New Orleans, and they looked at me and they said, you know, you pee in a can. We say pecan, and I'm like, oh, excuse me.
Thank you for that very much, Gail. I appreciate it.
They did not like that.
Yeah, makes two of us. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. If you have a question for a real expert on all kinds of cooking, but these Thanksgiving desserts, well, we have some beauties here today, but we can talk apple pie, we can talk pumpkin pie, whatever you want to talk about. How many desserts do you make, Gail, at your house for Thanksgiving?
Sometimes 3 or 4, sometimes just 2. I have a very picky crowd.
What do you mean?
Picky crowd. My parents, for instance, don't eat nuts. They can't eat nuts.
Right.
So we have to stay away from the nuts, although I love pecan pie. So sometimes you end up making one pie just for maybe 2 people, and then you have another pie. We have a pumpkin pie aficionados. They love pumpkin pie. And if you want to put anything on the pumpkin pie and get a little fancy schmancy, no, they're traditionalists. It's got to be just a plain pumpkin pie.
Well, what would you put on it? Now, this is an interesting question. You go ahead.
Some people like to put a little booze in their pumpkin pie. You can
check.
Put some cognac, rum. Well, you'd love that,
yes.
Right? Or they can even put it on top of their on their whipped cream filling. You could put a little, you know, booze in there too.
But I mean, pumpkin pie, you can't put a lot of stuff on.
You
that.
Could even put a pecan layer over the top,
well,
and sort of make
bad.
A combo of pumpkin pecan. But some people really want to keep it simple.
Yeah. Now,
they want to keep it simple.
The way I simply make a pumpkin pie is, you know, you get the Mrs. Smith's, you throw it in the oven.
Yeah, it's not the same. Then you get sometimes there's a soggy bottom.
Yeah.
And I just did a new video on 3 hacks, 3 little tips on how to prevent a soggy bottom. And we're not talking
in
diapers,
right?
A pie.
Right.
So really the first way, because a lot of these pies for Thanksgiving are custard-based pies.
Yeah.
So you bake the crust with the filling.
Yeah.
Hence, you will end up with a tendency to have the sogginess.
The soggy bottom.
So you can do several things. You could even take something like cookie crumbs, like ginger snaps.
Yeah.
Grind them up real fine. Sprinkle it on the bottom of the raw crust.
Yeah.
On the bottom. Put your filling in, and that makes a barrier, okay? And then bake it, and that'll keep the crust from getting soggy. Another way is you can actually, when I do something like a fruit tart, I will actually paint the bottom after a baking blind pie crust. You know, when you bake the the bottom crust without a filling in it. You put the beans in it, like raw beans or pie weights.
What?
Am I talking over your head?
Wait a minute.
All right.
You
got to back up.
You bake blind with beans in it.
Well, you don't bake blind.
I'm confused.
You don't put anything over your head, over your face so you can't see. It's just called baking blind. So you take the bottom crust.
Right.
You roll out your pie crust. You put it in your pie pan.
Yeah.
And then you dock it or stipple it, it's known as, with a fork.
Right.
And sometimes you put pie weights in. You line it with parchment paper, put pie weights in, and that prevents the crust from sinking down on the sides. And
gotcha.
You bake it. And then once you take that parchment off with those pie weights, you can fill it with chocolate cream, chocolate cream filling, coconut cream filling, if you don't want to bake the filling with the crust. It's like a two-step process. So your filling is made on the stove. Like your coconut cream, right? Like a pudding.
That's quicker, right?
It's not necessarily quicker. It's just different. And if you want to keep that crust from being soggy, I sometimes like to take, as that crust comes out of the oven, after I take my pie whites out, sprinkle a little semi-sweet or bittersweet chocolate on the bottom, let it melt, spread it out with a little bit of a spatula or offset spatula, and then let it firm up, and that is another barrier.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Okay? Or you can even take a cupcake, a plain cupcake or a plain pound cake, crumble it up and put it on the bottom before you put your filling in. It's anything to make a barrier between the bottom crust and the filling.
Crumb cake on the bottom.
Not crumb cake, like a little bit of a crumb from a cake.
And what will that do?
Cake
just
crumb.
Absorb the moisture?
Exactly. It'll be absorbed in the moisture of the filling and it won't go into the crust.
Genius. Our guest today is Chef Gail Sokol. It's Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. Jesse and Troy. Oh, Jesse, you're going to make Zach the engineer upset. Can you turn the radio down there, old fella?
Oh, you got it.
All right. Splendid. Zach, he's a little cantankerous over there in the control room. Go ahead. You're on with Gail Sokol.
All right. Thanks so much. For the holidays, I always like to make an apple pie, and I don't have kind of a standard go-to recipe. It seems like I'm doing something new every year. And I've done it both where you cook the filling ahead of time and where you don't cook the filling ahead of time. And they both seem good to me, and I'm just wondering what your recommendation is.
I have done both also as well, Jesse, and I actually find that the home method, which is the old-fashioned method, just mixing your apples, spices, and flour, your thickening agent, do not cook it. I find the apples get sort of broken down too much and watery, and there's too much liquid in the pie. So what I recommend is, and I hope, and you might probably do this already, is if you take your thickening agent, flour, and all your spices, mix those up before with your sugar so that all the spices get evenly and homogeneously blended with the flour, then mix them in with your sliced apples.
Sounds good.
All right. And that's what I recommend instead of cooking. Does it ever come out watery when you make the cooked version?
You know, it tends to, I always can't remember what kind of apples to use. So it seems like it's a little different every time. Sometimes I've had it go as far as like it's like applesauce inside, which is not my
favorite.
That's
not a good thing.
And that's why overcooking the apples. Don't cook them.
Jesse led to my next question.
Can't go wrong, though. It's so good.
What apples do you recommend, Gail?
I love Granny Smith because they hold up really well in baking and they have that little tart flavor, so they go really nicely with all the spices and the sugar. But you can, I've even done a combination. You could do any type you want, just even a combo, a couple apples here, a couple apples, whatever you have. Anything from Macintosh.
I'm not sure about that. I think you're over. We did an apple show a few weeks ago.
It's true, yeah.
And the last apple I tried, they saved it for last because they wanted to see my reaction.
Yeah.
An English strain of some kind. It was bitter. They use it for cider making.
Okay.
But you would not want to put that in a pie.
Well, no. But any type that you would find in the grocery store, you're not going to find that in the grocery store.
I hope never
Trust
to find
me.
It again. All right, Jesse.
Hey, Good luck, Jesse.
Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Our guest is Chef Gail Sokol. The book is Baking with Success, and we talk Thanksgiving desserts. You want to branch it into the later holidays? We can do that as well. Let's go to James in Hudson. James.
Hi. Quick questions, and I can take it off the air if
sure.
you want. I know it's more about desserts, but stuffing is my favorite part of Thanksgiving,
yes.
and it's
yeah.
also usually baked.
Yeah.
And honey, and I also love savory pies, too. So.
Yes.
Okay.
You
so
can just go on from there.
I know. So if you want to make a few extra crusts and, you know, flaky pie crusts, and don't bake them off. You can even freeze them until after Thanksgiving, thaw them out, and you can even make a turkey pot pie with just a top crust, or you can do a double crust. I love making it in individual containers where no one has to share, and then taking a sort of a glass or a bowl and cutting out a big piece of your pat brisé or your broken flaky pie crust and putting it on top, putting a few fork marks in it and baking it in the oven. It'll be fabulous. You can even put some of your stuffing in there and your leftover vegetables and gravy, and you have yourself a savory pot pie.
That's really good. Now, do you ever make turkey croquettes?
No.
Never make turkey croquettes?
No, I don't.
My wife, my poor wife, I'm like, oh, my grandmother made turkey croquettes. It is so much freaking work, okay, to make turkey croquettes.
But no,
I just
never...
thought, Gail, next time you're on, if you ever come back.
I'm not making turkey croquettes for you.
In a pie.
You know, oh,
in a pie crust. You take the filling.
Oh.
And this is just the idea that's coming to me now because I'm an idea guy.
Okay.
And so you take what would be turkey croquettes, which you would fry up.
Yeah.
Make it into a nice savory pie. Put some of that lattice on the top.
I'm not seeing that, Ray. I don't know.
It's always fun to have Gail Sokol here at the show. Let's go to Kelly in Winchendon, Mass. You're on.
Hi. I just have a question regarding pecan pie, which is my favorite. Sometimes I have the issue where the filling will actually kind of curdle, and I don't know why that is.
Okay, so it's curdling after during the baking process, or what do you do?
Correct.
I'm sorry?
Correct. It's during the baking process.
Okay, so you may be over baking, and it's curdling because, remember, a pecan pie is actually custard based. Even though you wouldn't think it is, it's thickened with eggs. So make sure that your filling is really whisked very well, so your eggs are broken down very well with your corn syrup and everything that you put in it. And then when you pour it in, I don't know if you mix in your nuts or you coat your nuts or you put the nuts in first. Some people do all different things. When you bake it, go ahead.
Yeah, I usually just put it in the filling and pour everything in at once.
That's fine. Make sure you mix those eggs up really, really well. Do not overbake it. Make sure that it shimmy shakes a little bit when you take it out. There's carryover cooking. So you may be overbaking it, and that's when it actually starts curdling.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Thank you very much for your help.
Give it a try.
Shimmy shakes. That was a great dance
shimmy shakes.
Back
yeah.
in the 70s. Yeah. Let's go to Paula in Woodstock. Paula, you're on with Chef Gail Sokol.
Hi there.
Hi.
You know, I have a question about caramels. I know that they seem to be very popular now, and they may sea salt caramel and what have you, but I've noticed that I see corn syrup as a big ingredient in them, and I just heard you mentioning making your own caramel, and there was no mention of corn syrup, and I'm just wondering if there's, you know, if there's a recipe or a suggestion where you can make caramel without the corn syrup.
What you can do is Google some recipes out there without corn syrup. You don't have to. Corn syrup is added because it's dextrose or glucose, and granulated sugar, which is a main ingredient in caramel, is sucrose. And you want to have two different sugars when you're making caramel because it prevents crystallization. We want a nice smooth caramel. That's why you add two types. So if you add granulated sugar by itself and a little water, you may also want to add a little lemon juice. So that will actually break down the sucrose into two sugars because only pure substances crystallize. So you actually want two types of sugar. That's why that corn syrup is put in there to prevent crystallization. All right. So look for some recipes without there. They do exist without corn syrup.
Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot for the call. The number is 800-348-2551. On a Food Friday with Chef Gail Sokol, we talk Thanksgiving desserts today, 1-800-348-2551. Before we take our break, and then we'll get back to the calls, let's talk a minute about apple pie. And the appropriate thing, like, you know, there's the argument about cheese on the pie. And I'm down with the cheese on the pie.
No cheese.
What do you mean, no cheese?
I don't like cheese on my apple pie. If I want cheese, I'll have cheese and crackers.
A nice
I'll have mac and cheese. No.
I disagree, madam.
A nice piece of sharp cheddar melted on the top of that pie? Well, forget about it.
Yeah, I can't get into that, Ray. I'm sorry.
Okay, now, what about pie a la mode? This was my question. The cheese thing, I thought you'd be on board with me, but now I'm disappointed.
No.
Okay, vanilla ice cream, yes.
Yes.
Now, when I was a kid, and even recently,
mm-hmm.
I would put chocolate ice cream on my apple pie. Is that wrong? Is that a faux pas?
Well, I'm saying you can do whatever you want. It's a free country,
okay.
But I'm not into chocolate ice cream on apple pie.
Why?
Rum raisin. I don't like, if you want a chocolate dip your apple, that's fine. But with an apple pie, I don't know. Coffee ice cream I could get into.
You know, you're being very difficult. Let's take a break. Chef
sorry.
Gail Sokol is our guest. It's a Food Friday. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. More calls coming up. Well, if you're just tuning in, we started the show by almost burning the place to the ground. And then recently on the program, Gail gave me a real hard time about putting cheese on apple pie. And frankly, the whole thing has been a disaster. But we'll continue. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest. 1-800-348-2551 is the phone number. You know, you made the thing, the baked Alaska with the pumpkin ice cream and the ginger snaps.
You're butchering the names. Well, no ginger snaps.
What's on the bottom? The blondie.
It's cinnamon blondie.
Right. Here's my question.
Yes.
Not that I'm being overly concerned.
No.
We got past the fire.
Yes, we did.
What happens when the ice cream melts? Is it going to ooze out all over Studio A?
No, you put it back in the freezer.
But when we don't have a freezer.
We do have a freezer. Don't you have a freezer out there? I know you do.
Not in Studio A. What's going to happen by the end of the show?
It's going to be fine.
I'm going to have to clean this up.
It's going to be fine.
All right. You ready to go back?
I promise.
Okay. It was delicious. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
Gail Sokol, you have a website.
Yes.
Okay, the website is?
GailSokol.com.
Easy. Spell Sokol, though.
S-O-K-O-L.
GailSokol.com. Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Joe and Troy. Hello, Joe.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Good, thank you for taking this. My partner, Diane, is like the best apple pie baker in the world, except she has one trouble where the upper crust stays up high as the apples bake and drop. So the crust stays high. It bugs her. She doesn't know how to get that to work out correctly. So
she's got a big air pocket between the top crust and the bottom apples. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is she filling her bottom crust with enough apples? You really want to sort of overload it with apples. And then when you put your top crust on, push down on it. So get all that air out. You'd want to make sure that there's no air. And then the apples will bake down a little bit. Remember, fruit is mostly water. So it's going to break down and they're going to settle down and sink in a little bit. So make sure she puts in enough filling. That's my trick, I think, there.
She does. She piles it up high, but then they drop and the crust seems to just stay up there.
I think that she's got to push that top crust down and maybe fill it a little bit more. You may want to fill it above the top crust, okay?
Okay.
All right. You may want to supervise.
Joe, thanks for the call. Gail Sokol is our guest. 800-348-2551. You know, I love blueberry pie, but now that's off season now, right?
Yeah, but you could do it frozen.
Yeah.
Why not?
Do they ever make strawberry pie? Is that a thing?
Yeah.
Really?
Strawberry rhubarb,
I don't want to talk about the rhubarb. Just strawberries like you would make a raspberry pie.
You could do that. Strawberries, again, mostly water. They're going to break down. You'd have to put in a lot of thickening agent.
Yeah.
But you could
Has anybody ever done it?
I think probably they have. Usually you'll see like a strawberry custard pie or with a, you know, like a pudding on the bottom.
I've seen that.
Like a pastry cream and then strawberries laid over the top raw.
You
want them cooked.
Yeah, I guess I've had a lot of bad ideas
like
today
compo.
And I apologize. I'm very sorry.
They're not bad ideas.
This one is from Matt in Saratoga. I'm going to Thanksgiving in Massachusetts, so I need to make everything a few days before they'll be served. I'm going to make English toffee and my grandmother's chocolate brownies. That sounds good.
Yeah.
But I'd like one more thing that I could make a few days in advance that'll still be fresh and delicious on Thanksgiving and will travel well. Ideally, not another chocolate thing.
Okay. So you can make most pies other than a custard pie. A pumpkin pie probably would not be a good idea, but an apple pie will last. It does not need refrigeration once it's been baked and cooled.
Yeah.
You could even do a slab pie if you're doing something for a crowd in quantity. So in a sheet pan, just build your pie, put your bottom crust in a 15 by 10 or 12 by 16 inch bottom, you know, the sheet pan, and then put layer of fruit over it. And then you could either do, you know, a crust on top or crumbs on top, bake it off, and then cut it in squares when you get there and serve a crowd.
You know, you brought up something now that is a revelation to me. When we have pie left over at Thanksgiving, the apple pie included, it goes in the fridge. It does not need to go there?
No. Well, once it's cut into, you should put it in, and it depends on how many days it's being left out.
How many days can you leave it out?
I would just leave it, basically. I usually probably refrigerate it. Maybe a day I have left it overnight.
Right.
But for the most part, nothing's going to live in that. You just don't want to leave it like that. It will also freeze very well. So another thing is sometimes I will have so much pie left over, I will actually freeze it and then pop it in the oven again to get the crust back. Thaw it out, pop it in the oven, maybe at 350, just to get that crust back. Just
for
to
how
get
long?
That maybe 10, 15 minutes.
Really?
Yes.
Brilliant.
And you'll get that just baked flavor.
But you have to thaw it first, right?
You don't have to, but it will take less time if you thaw it first.
Our guest today is Chef Gail Sokol. Thanksgiving desserts, the topic on a Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number. And Polly in Kerhonkson. Hello, Polly.
Hey, Ray. How are you doing?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I'm so glad you're on. I have a problem. I cannot make a decent pie crust to save my life.
Oh, boy.
My mother was a prodigious baker, and even she threw up her hands at my... I have been told I have hot hands. Cue the jokes, Ray.
I'm not going to... No, I'm staying away from this, Polly.
Okay. So you're...
Anyway...
Yeah.
They come out rubbery, and I mean, no matter how little I try to touch them or work them or whatever.
So what type of flour are you using, Polly?
I generally use all-purpose, but I have tried using pastry flour.
Okay.
And I wasn't any more successful.
Okay, so it's probably not the recipe. It's probably your... the process of what you're doing to it. So do you make it and then let it rest a little bit, your crust?
Yeah.
Okay. So you want to let it rest. Remember, when we talk about all-purpose flour or pastry flour, it's from the wheat plant. And wheat has gluten-forming proteins in them. So when you mix them with the ice water, right, that's what you do when you're making, after you put your butter in, you cut your butter into little pea-sized pieces, you're going to put ice water in. And then you really, and your little hot little hands are touching it. We all have hot little hands, Polly. Don't feel bad. We're all 98.6 degrees. And what you want to do is gather that dough up. And I have made mine in the food processor very successfully, pulsing my butter in. You handle it less. So if you put it in the food processor, if you have one.
But don't hit the turbo. You don't want it to.
No. Pulse it.
Right.
Pulse. And then put your ice water in. And because it's rubbery, I would also recommend you add maybe a teaspoon and a half of either apple cider vinegar or lemon juice.
What does that do?
This will actually make it'll make it easier to roll out. It's what's known as extensibility. It makes your dough a little more extensible. Oh. It cuts the, it sort of cuts into the gluten strands a little bit, you know, that protein matrix that causes strength and structure.
That's been another problem, is that the dough just seems really elastic.
Okay.
You know, more like pizza dough than, pie crust.
Yeah. All right. So, Polly, you are a gluten producer. You are actually over kneading your dough.
I've often said that about Polly.
Polly is a gluten producer. So you want to let your pie rest. We bakers have little tips to actually relax the gluten a bit. And one is not to overmix. So I recommend the food processor. If you don't have one, just put it in, you know, put it in a disc on on plastic wrap, your dough. Let it chill. Flatten it to a disc. Let it chill for an hour or so before you work it. Roll it out, And then put it into your pie shell. But make sure you do add a little acid to it, like a vinegar or a lemon juice or any citrus. Even orange juice would work.
All right, Polly, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Good luck, Polly.
800-348-2551. Gail in Adams. Hello, Gail. You're
Hi,
on.
Hi, Gail.
Oh, for Pete's sake.
My mother was a diabetic, and what I used to do for her when I made apple pies is I would use 7 different kinds of apples.
Wow.
And no sugar, and it worked every time.
Great. That's fabulous. Did you have a question?
No, my I just wanted to pass that information on
nice.
To your readers who may have diabetic people in their family that they have to be careful making apple pies for with sugar. You can make it without sugar. You just have to use 7 different kinds of apples. And I'm talking about Macintosh and, you know, sweet apples as well as the more sour
okay.
Granny
yep.
Smith and,
right.
and well, things like that.
Now, of course, apples have sugar, right?
Apples have natural
yeah.
sugar, but I will tell you, and diabetics do have to worry about
yeah.
that. That's fructose. But I will tell you, I will say something, Gail, that and along the same line, you can also add these non-nutritive sweeteners sometimes if you want to use something like a more tart apple.
Yeah.
So you can use something like a Splenda.
Will it work for you?
It will work if it's only sweetening. If its purpose is only to sweeten the filling, it'll work out beautifully.
What else would you use it for?
I would not use it to... put in a, you know, cream a cake. I would not use it to caramelize and make caramel.
Yeah.
But it will, if you just want to sweeten something, it'll work very nicely.
And you have worked with Splenda before.
In a filling of a pie, it will be fine.
Okay. Our number
like
is
an apple pie, yeah.
800-348-2551. Chef Gail Sokol is our guest today. Ernest in East Postenkill, you're up.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, I just recently made my very first apple pie.
Hey.
Congratulations.
And it was perfect.
Great.
Everybody was blown away.
Good.
Now, I have a couple of questions. I had a surplus of Cortland apples this year, and a friend of mine said she makes the filling, puts them in the pie pan, and freezes them so she has the form, and then she makes the pie that day. She makes it, and but she's telling me that there's a trick to cooking it, that she puts the oven up 100 degrees higher than usual because the apples are frozen. Should I let them thaw out? And then they talk about making pies and freezing it. Do you freeze them uncooked or cooked?
I prefer to freeze them cooked. The reason is when you put a apples are going to break down a little bit in the freezer. Remember,
right.
you also have flour in there and spices and sugar.
Yep.
And eventually you're going to get that bottom crust. You're going to get a soggy bottom.
Oh, yeah.
And the top crust will get soggy. So what I recommend is baking it fully. Freezing it after it cools thoroughly. Wrap it perfectly. I am known as the freezer queen.
Yeah.
In my
house.
And
no soggy bottom there.
And no soggy bottoms.
Right.
Okay, so you actually want to actually cover this very well with like plastic wrap. Put yep. it maybe even in a bag. Get all the air out. Date it, label it, put it in the freezer. Thaw it in the refrigerator. Pop it on a sheet pan and pop it in the oven. It'll taste like it's just baked.
Do you have to thaw it first?
Yes, I would thaw it. You don't have to.
Completely thawed. Okay.
I would.
Now,
you don't have to, but I would bake it first.
Do you think I have to change the temperature?
If it's going in frozen, you might just want to leave it in longer, but you want to be careful that you don't overbake it.
Ah.
Well, I think I will thaw it. I think that's a better idea. Do you think I have to use one pan versus another? Metal versus glass or porcelain?
Well, just like on a hot, sunny day, if you wear a darker color, it's going to absorb more sun and more heat. So a glass Pyrex pan,
yeah.
may not absorb as much heat, but anything will work. You do want a bottom crust that's not soggy.
You know what, Ernest? It occurs to me that you got lucky on the first try. Maybe you ought to quit while you're ahead, man.
Well, no, listen, I'm going to make these pies for Thanksgiving because everybody brings so many desserts. And nobody brings traditional apple pie anymore.
Oh.
And I want a traditional. I want apple pie. So I'm making 3 of them.
Good
and
for
I
you.
Now, I have the old metal ones that have the little holes in the bottom. Does that matter?
All right, so you have like a patty pan almost.
They'll drip, right?
Yeah, you're good.
I don't know. They're old. They're old.
Okay, so what you want to do is you may want to get put them in another metal pan so that the juices don't drip out if there are any.
Yeah.
And the other the other trick, or you can do this, Ernest, put it on a foil-lined sheet pan. I would recommend never baking a pie on its own in the oven on the rack because it can
overflow. Because Ernest will burn his house down.
Or no fire. You can actually overflow your pie filling and it will, you know, you're going to have to clean up that oven and that's no fun.
Yeah.
And you can also ruin your crust because I bet your crusts are gorgeous, Ernest. So you don't want to ruin
it. Well, he's got one crust and it was good. But I mean, the second one, who knows, right?
He's going to be doing fine.
Good luck, Ernest.
Ernest.
Marcia in Albany. Marcia, you're up.
Oh, thank you. I have a question. Usually I buy the whole chestnuts and I put it, cut an X in them and I roast them and have them for after dinner. But I found the packaged chestnuts that are already shelled and cooked. Is there a dessert you could recommend for them? Would they be good in a pie?
Chestnuts.
Chestnuts is sort of a flavor that you sort of have to, you know, sort of acclimate yourself to. Some people are chestnut people, some people are not. If you wanted to chop them up, cooked, chop them up fine and put them into a pie, you could do that.
Have you done that?
I have not done that, but you can also candy them. I have put them in other things like cakes and things. I am not fond of chestnuts. It's sort of an acquired flavor.
What do they taste like?
Delicious.
How would you explain them? How would you explain them?
Like chicken?
No. It's wonderful. They're wonderful.
Sort of like a nut, like a water chestnut / nut.
Yeah.
And it sort of has an earthy flavor.
Okay. Well, good luck, Marcia. We appreciate
it. Try it, Martha.
You know, we have Deanna Fox, the pie lady, on this program.
Yes.
We often have an argument about mince pie. Do you do that?
No, I have not. I have never done mincemeat.
You go to the grocery and you get a jar of the mince pie filling.
Yep.
You pop it in the pre-made
Tell
crust.
Tell me what it tastes like.
Like chicken. Let's go to Melanie and Saugerties. Melanie, you're up.
Oh, hi. Gail, I just had an observation about the caller who had the problem with the air pocket in her apple pie.
Yes.
And I find that I avoid that when I pre-cook the apples.
Okay, because you know why? Because you're baking all the water out of them already.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So that would actually work very nicely. I don't like the way, I think overcooking the apples, they taste more, they break down more. You know, you can also very much overfill and push down on that and you'll prevent that airspace as well. But that's a very good idea what you have.
Yeah, just cook them a little bit and get out some of the water.
Yep. You just have to make sure you strain that out, like with a slotted spoon, get all that liquid out.
All right. Thank you, Melanie, for the call. We had an email here from our regular correspondent, Christine in Waterville, and we only have about 45 seconds.
Uh-oh.
Any suggestions for lower-calorie alternatives?
Yes. So if you are looking for a pie, you can actually cut down and use a light butter.
What is light butter?
Light butter, they have removed sometimes up to half the fat.
Isn't that margarine?
No, you can actually get a stick butter, quote unquote butter, and you can. Some very well-known brands are looking. You know, they say that they're. You make sure it's okay for baking. It's not all margarines are a lot of gums and gelatins and water, and they will not do well. But make sure you freeze that margarine-like or light butter first, because you'll get more flakiness that way in your pie crust. You can also use light versions of things. So if you're making a cake, use a light version of sour cream or a light version of yogurt instead of fully fatted. You can actually make light, low-fat desserts. Absolutely.
Well, Chef Sokol, you didn't burn the place to the ground.
I did not.
Thank you very much for being here.
Support
comes from Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, offering over 100 chocolates, including truffles, almond butter crunch, and sea-salted caramels, Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville, UncleSamsCandy.com. Cafe Capriccio, Albany, New York, the Rua family offering authentic Italian cooking and hospitality to downtown Albany and organizing tours to Italy for over 37 years, CafeCapriccio.com. ICANN, Independent Consumer Advocacy Network, a New York resource for help with managed long-term care, home care, and Medicaid, ICANN.org. at the Old English Pub in downtown Albany's historic Quackenbush House, serving British beers, cocktails, scotch, and cuisine, lunch, dinner, and brunch, hosting private holiday parties, oldenglish.com. Once again, thanks to the great chef, Gail Sokol, for being here. You can find links to her website and some of the recipes right at our website, wamc.org/VoxPop, maybe? Or could be Food Friday. I don't know. Just search it. You'll find it. Thanks to engineer Zach Malloy. Barb King took the calls. I'm Ray Graff. We'll see you on Monday.